seeing the call today. My name is Robin Hoffman, and I'm the acquisitions editor for Tendril Press Publishing. And I'm delighted to be here today to introduce one of our superstar, up-and-coming superstar authors, Dallas Teague Snyder. Dallas Teague Snyder is the impression engineer. She's an entrepreneur, speaker, and author who helps others make their best impression and eliminate any barriers to their success. She is certified through the Protocol School of Washington. A 20-year veteran of hospitality and hotel sales, Dallas founded Make Your Best Impression, offering personal coaching, workshops, and seminars on business etiquette, communications, and international protocol. Her new book, Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, was just released this week. You can find out more about Dallas's programs, coaching, and her book at businessetiquetteacademy.com. And welcome to the call, Dallas.
Robin, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to host this call as part of Tendril Press. I'm excited to be part of the team.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And for our callers, I want to encourage you to go to the conference link that you received when you registered, and you can click the button Download Handout. It's a big red button on the right side of the page, and that way you can follow along as Dallas is going to speak with us today, giving us some really valuable tips about business etiquette and how to present that professionally polished image. And also, I want to encourage everybody to go ahead and send in your questions if they occur to you throughout the call. Feel free to send in questions. We will be answering questions at the end of the call. And also, I've been told we have some really exciting offers that you can hear about at the end of the call as well, and some really great discounts on Dallas's amazing services. So let's just jump right in here, Dallas. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how do business etiquette skills play a role in someone's success, and why is this important?
Well, Robin, I'm sure you have let me ask you a question. Would you say that customer service and kindness is on the rise or on the decline in our society today?
Well, Dallas, I'd have to say my experience overall is that it appears to be in the decline because, you know, if you can get a live person, you're not always sure if they're going to be courteous. But even getting a live person to talk to can be a challenge.
Oh, you better believe it. So, you know, really, if you just press zero, it helps you get to that person. And isn't that a shame? People spend so much time on their voicemail, but yet they don't let people actually talk to a person. And I think we really have gotten, lazy or lackadaisical in our relationship building that it's really affecting our business.
Yeah, so that make a difference.
Well, first of all, I guess what we should say is that it takes 3 to 5 seconds to make a first impression. So think about what we just said. You call someone, you can't get them on the phone. What does that say to you? Does it sound like there's somebody there that really wants to service your needs?
Well, it makes me feel like I'm not important.
Exactly. So that's one thing. I have to tell you a quick story. I actually was calling on a client one day and went to their desk. They had a wonderful office in a very upscale office building. And when I got to the front, there was a beautiful desk, obviously very expensive furniture, with a bell. Okay, so there was a bell to greet me. There were people in the back, and, of course, I rang the bell. I thought it was quite odd. And I remember someone finally coming to the front. And when I met with the CEO and he was walking me around and showing me all the wonderful things they have for the folks there, they had they provided lunch for them, they had a casual work environment, things of that nature. As we walked by the front desk, I remember asking him, I said, so tell me about the front desk. And he said, oh, we put the bell there because we felt most people don't come to see us. And I remember saying, is that working for you? Dr. Phil-esque, you know. How is that working for you? Because my initial impression was, wow, it's a shame. Shouldn't they just have some person at the front, even if they're doing their daily work? Because that one person that comes in, it can make an impression on them that, number one, they don't have enough staff to have somebody at the front. Mm-hmm. Or that they don't care enough to personally greet somebody that comes to see their office. To see them at their office. So, you know, that again, that made an impression upon me that you can see I'm still talking about it today. So I don't see them as being as professional as I would have if somebody was there to greet me when I first walked off the elevator and entered their office area. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm thinking that that's even an impression even before you encounter the people in the business.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's like a whole nother, you know, just that idea of making people feel welcome in the first place just by having someone even be present. And then when you do have that person there, you know, how does it make a difference in their behavior as to how the client or customer, you know, or potential business partner, how can we present ourselves in a way that sets our business apart?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Robin, because so many times people think, well, I'll just have a body there. Well, having a body there isn't enough either. Does that body have a good attitude? Are they smiling? Do they have open body language? There's so many things that we say without saying words, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that only 7% of the words that we say are what people hear. And most people don't think about that. So when we send emails or we're talking to folks, it's our intonation and our voice and our body language that really tells people what we're trying to say. So, again, somebody that has those people skills will make all the difference in the world. One of the things I think I need to point out, there's an important distinction between technical knowledge and what I call people skills or, you know, social skills. And we spend so much of our time going to technical school, right? We go to college, we learn a degree, we have advanced degrees, maybe we go to a technical school to learn our trade or our skill. And while those things are extremely important, actually it's only 15% of the reason that we get a job, keep a job, or are promoted in a job. So 85% of our success, once we have actually gotten the job, is based on our people skills. But yet we don't take the time to develop those. Now, isn't that staggering?
It is. And, you know, it's making me think about your book, Professionally Polished, because you go into great detail about all these different levels of communication that go on when we're encountering other people. And you talk about the nonverbal communication cues as well as the verbal communication, and then also the physical appearance and how much that communicates.
Absolutely. You know, we are all very unique, and we don't need to change the person that we are. But it's very important that we try to communicate the message that we want to. And if we're trying to relate to certain people, we need to almost be chameleon-like. And I believe I explain that in more detail in the book as well with actual personal stories. But one thing that's very important, you'll hear people say that knowledge is power. Again, that goes back to that 15%, right? Knowledge is power. But the reality is we have to first begin with awareness. And what's very interesting is, that these skills have not been taught since the 50s and 60s. So what happens is we've got four generations of people out there, unless their parents actually put them through some sort of school to learn these skills, or they happen to get this in a college course. And again, they may just have received the basics, but a lot of this is just not taught today. So it's not our fault. It's just time that we can step up and take the responsibility for our own success.
Yeah, and that I remember when you cover that in your book, and it was really so fascinating to read, because I really hadn't thought about it until I read your book, how etiquette really was a more integral part of our society, and it was really, you know, training in etiquette was really considered part of the essential upbringing of a child. And then when we had the social revolution of the 60s, that really became not so in vogue anymore. And the result now is that we have, I remember you told a story in your book about a young man who was meeting with his advisor.
Oh, yes.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, oh, my goodness,
for anyone
absolutely.
Who's getting ready to graduate college.
Yeah, guys, you definitely want to listen to this. I work with several universities, and one wonderful lady that I work with, she's an advisor, and she was actually meeting with a young man, and he was meeting with her to find out the classes he needed to actually graduate the next quarter. Well, in the process, they were sitting down going over his schedule and what he actually needed to have to graduate, and he began to bring out his cell phone or BlackBerry and began to text. Well, she's sitting side by side with this young man, and she looks at him and says, well, I'll wait till you're finished. You know, in other words, trying to give him the clue that please put that away in a very, you know, in the tone of voice, I'll wait till you're done. Mm-hmm. And he looked at her and just said, well, I'm just trying to get a number. She said, no, I'll wait till you're finished. But that just shows you how, when I say that it's an awareness factor, I don't really think people realize they're being rude. I just think that we are such a me-me society that if we'll learn to basically turn that around and focus on the needs of others and how we make other people feel, that actually it will benefit us in the long run.
Yeah, and that's something, too, I think a lot of people don't realize about etiquette, that it's really, like you said, it's about how we make people feel. And I think a lot of people who are aware of some of the rules of etiquette maybe take the attitude that they're going to become the etiquette police and run around correcting everybody. But that's really not good manners, is it, Dallas?
Oh, no, absolutely not. In fact, what I tell people is when they learn the cues of silent service, I'll say, what would you do if someone, if you're at a banquet and someone else takes your bread plate? What would you do if someone takes your bread? Well, you have two options. You can either say, excuse me, you took my bread. Or you can just decide you don't need bread that day. And the goal is you don't want to make the other person who's not aware of this to feel uncomfortable. Again, it's to make people, you know, people want to do business with people they like. And by being kind to people and not making them feel less than, it certainly helps promote that sort of relationship. You know, it's really important that we make ourselves indispensable. You know, that people really want to be around us. It's really a form of charisma, if you will. And it's interesting that many professionals will accidentally and inadvertently find themselves in a rut. But, you know, they want to make a change, but they really don't know where to begin. And it's easy to do because we, as human nature, we always like to remain comfortable. Even though we don't like where we are, we really don't want to do what we have to do to make a difference. Would you find that true?
Yeah, I think there can be that complacency. And at the same time, I mean, this is these times with this economy, and I know many of our callers may be in the hotel industry, and this industry has been particularly hard hit by the recession because a lot of corporations are cutting back on business travel and doing meetings in person. In some cases, they're worried that they're going to be perceived as overspending and not being frugal enough, and so, what would you say to hotel professionals as to, you know, how can you make yourself indispensable, and how can a hotel or resort really have the bookings that are available, have that person, you know, have those people know that this is the right place for them? I mean, how can etiquette help them with that?
Well, again, you know, when I talk about it, it's how you make other people feel. I think in today's economy, we really have to look at it seriously. I don't think that personal meetings are going to go away. In fact, Smith Travel Research recently, I was at a meeting, and one of the things they said was that they see 2009 continuing to decline. 2010 will level off as far as supply and demand. I do think we're going to have more virtual meetings, and, you know, of course, we're offering opportunities for training in the virtual capacity because I do think companies are looking at different ways to offer those sorts of resources. But I think it's important that that the hotels work with the meeting planners, that they talk now about what's happening with their meetings coming up and try to find a mutual win-win situation. In other words, if we're looking at 30% decrease around the board as far as our attendees go, it's important that you talk about that before the meeting happens. So therefore, both parties can do what they can to try to mitigate any sort of damage on either side. There's contractual obligations. There's also, there's attrition obligations with the contract, and then if things cancel. And it's interesting for the meeting planners out there, you know, some people think it's good just to go ahead and just cancel the meeting. But think about the people when you totally cancel that meeting. Think about the people that don't work. It's your banquet service. It's the people at the front desk. It's all the other people that are affected. So not only are the meetings, the actual associations and the hotel companies themselves hurting in this economy, but it's the actual people that depend on our business to feed their family. So the trickle-down effect is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so again, being proactive, part of etiquette is my opinion, is doing the right thing and thinking about others. And if we are operating and we're thinking about others, then we can figure out how to make the best decision. But again, that's such a big component of that. It's almost it's really ethics and etiquette go hand in hand, I believe.
Mm-hmm. They do. And when you're talking about thinking about others, it really carries us to our next point. And before we go to that, I just want to remind everybody that please feel free to enter your questions. Those will be answered at the end of the call. And also, we're going to have some special offers. And I believe there's even going to be a way you can get Dallas's new book for free. So be sure to stay tuned and hear about how all that works. And then, so when I know that you indicate there are two questions that all employers or clients want to know, and I think this, you know, carries forward from what we were discussing just a minute ago. So do you want to share with us about what are those two questions that everybody wants to know?
Sure, absolutely. It's really interesting because if you think about it and think about what I'm going to say, you'll find that resonates with you as well. The first thing is, what do they want? When someone wants an appointment with you or they call you on the phone, think about when that telemarketer calls you in the evening and you're cooking dinner. They may want to give you a free car, but the last thing you want to do is answer the phone at that point. Now, if you knew they were giving you a free car and there were no strings attached, you might answer that phone. But first of all, what are they saying? What do they want? And
well,
so that's
that. Maybe they could say that. I'm sorry, Dallas.
Go ahead.
Maybe they could make a more advanced caller ID where it would not only tell you who's calling, but what the offer is. So if it is a free car with no strings attached, we could answer the phone.
Hey, that's a good business idea. Maybe somebody out there can make that happen and let us know so we can invest in the company. I think that would be good. And the other question, I think it goes simultaneously with this, is what's in it for me? You know, if I take this appointment, what's in it for me? So, again, you have to think about that when you're working with people. One of the things I want to say, too, that we have to remember it's only when we stretch ourselves and reach out for our true potential that we can really feel confident in anything we do, regardless of the economy. If it's a good economy or a bad economy, if we don't feel confident in ourselves that we're not putting our best self forward, then it's going to be difficult for us no matter where we are in the economic situation.
Mm.
And I think it's important. If, you know, we can take time and we can learn these skills, and the good news is we can learn them, then we can eliminate the fear and feel confident in any situation, personally or professionally. So the next time you're invited to that upscale event or you're invited somewhere and you're not exactly sure how to handle yourself now, or maybe you don't know where to put your napkin when the meal is finished or the cues for following the host and things of that nature, once you learn these skills, you'll never have to learn them again. So that's the good news. It's education that lasts a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And all those things are covered in your book. I'm just, as you're going through that list, I'm thinking, oh, yes, and that's the chapter on office parties, which is a very entertaining chapter. And there's a chapter on business meals and dining. And, you know, one of the things that's so great in Professionally Polished is that you bring in so much of the human element. And one thing I think readers will really appreciate is that you share so freely about your own errors that you've made in your development as a professional, and also how generously the people that you reached out to shared their own stories of their etiquette faux pas and fumbles, and it really makes for, I think, a way to learn about these things and honestly just not feel like an idiot, right? Because we know Dallas can make a mistake, or if these other big CEOs and all these other people can make these mistakes, then, you know, maybe I just need to learn some things, but I'm not a lost cause.
Yes, absolutely. There's nothing worse than, I know that when I deal with someone from a technology standpoint, I am not a technical person. So I know how to make something happen or what I want to happen, but I don't know how to make it happen. So when someone's asking me questions regarding the technology aspect of things, you know, sometimes I can feel, depending how they talk to you, you can feel, like you said, like you're an idiot. And my goal is to basically put a human face on this and to say, you know, none of us are perfect, and, you know, hey, look what's happened to me, and I've survived, and hopefully you can learn from these things and it not happen to you. And it reminds me of a quick story, Robin. I believe this is in the first part of the book, but one of the things I learned very early on, and, you know, there are some things that happen that don't affect your career, but they certainly affect your self-confidence at a moment or two. But when I was 26, I was a director of sales at a hotel, and I had a situation with a guest who was demanding a free room. Well, his contract did not indicate that he received a free room, and after several discussion back and forth, I offered to call the company to rectify the situation, and, of course, he declined because he did not deserve a free room, and he was just trying to get something he wasn't owed. Mm-hmm. But yet, the guest is always right, so we try to accommodate. Well, needless to say, after I gave him that option, he decided that he would just go about his business, and even though he wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. So afterward, I went across the lobby, and I was very proud, you know, proud of that situation. It was you know, nobody likes confrontation, but you have those things, and you just have to deal with them. And so I proceeded to go to the ladies' room, and on the way back across the lobby, I see the people at the front desk, and their eyes are as big as saucers. And I'm looking at them, and they're motioning over for me to come to the front desk. And all of a sudden, I get behind the front desk thinking, what in the world's going on? And they say, Dallas, your skirt is tucked in your pantyhose. In your hosiery. And I went, oh, my goodness, you have to be kidding me. So I scurry behind the front desk, and I'm going, please tell me when he's gone, because the client was still in the lobby. So, you know, just think about it. I'm sure he's saying, well, you know, hey, you didn't give me a free room, but you sure gave me a free show. Thanks a lot, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So basically what I say in that is that even though he didn't have any bearing on my future success in the hotel industry or meeting planning or now in this phase of my career, but he sure did teach me that when I leave the restaurant, I need to make sure that I leave the way I intend to. You know,
that's
to double
right.
check those things. That's right. And if that's happened to you out there, you know what I'm talking about. It's something you'll never do again. But for those of you who it hasn't happened to, make sure you just have a check before you walk out the door.
Right. Or you'll definitely make a strong impression, but maybe not the one you want to.
Right, exactly. And it may be something that somebody that really matters to. So
right.
Yeah. So but it's stories like that, but it's also success stories, you know, things that went really well when you're just really trying to be a professional person and someone sees you, you don't really think about them watching you and watching what you do, and all of a sudden, you know, a job's created for you. So there are great opportunities like that as well, and I think we can all use that help in today's market.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know one of the things that comes up quite a bit, and actually there could not have been training on this in the 50s and 60s, and that's around email.
Oh.
And you had a story about reply all.
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely. I don't know if you have your own stories about reply all, but... did you have a funny reply all that happened to you?
Well, as you know, I have a story that happened at a place that I was employed.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
A reply all, which was I was working for a newspaper, a large city newspaper, and this was when email was actually very, very new. As a matter of fact, we didn't have internet email. We just had intra-office email that all the computers were networked together. And one of the tech guys sent an email to his girlfriend that said something to the effect of, darling, I can't wait to see you again. You know, I can't wait to be alone with you again. And it went on from there, and I believe had more detail, that more intimate detail. And so...
use your imagination, hint, hint,
right.
Yeah.
Imagination will keep everybody comfortable here. And so
right.
being in the news industry, of course, this email went out right around 5 o'clock, which is the deadline time. It's when the editors come in to edit all the stories for the day. The reporters are all there filing their stories. And so the newsroom is pretty busy at that time, and there's a lot of people who on their computers, and the editors are coming in, logging into their computers. So, of course, this gentleman accidentally hit send all instead of just sending it to his girlfriend. And so as these people were coming into work and logging on, there was this wave where everybody was trying to open their email all at once. And the result
was... the water cooler conversation was very interesting that day, wasn't it?
Well, actually, it got real interesting because it shut down our entire computer network.
Oh, wow.
It went into overload, and it shut down the whole computer network. And so for the rest of the night, we had to put out the paper that night by all the old methods. And I was in college at the time and a news aide, so I was doing a lot of stairs that night, going from the press room back up and down from the press room to the newsroom. So that was...
Wow, so you...
I don't think his career.
No. I doubt that he was on the promotion list or, I'm sure that kind of stuck in someone's mind when they thought, what, tell me about Dave.
Right, because then we were literally running pages up and downstairs till 2 or 3 in the morning that night, so.
Wow, so that certainly affected business that way. Well,
there
are several stories out there, and one of the stories that comes to mind that happened recently, last year in the process of booking a conference, we were working with a hotel and getting to the details of the contract. Well, actually, when it came down to it, we decided to go ahead and put menus and spell out what that would be actually in the contract. And in the process, one of the hotel salesperson was actually thinking she was emailing the food and beverage director, and in the process sent a very, very derogatory email, and my client actually sent it to me. In fact, my client's statement was, unfortunately, it was laced with sarcasm and rather offensive, particularly when it was their idea to specify the menus in the contract. And he further says, I am praying that this lapse of professionalism is no indicator of the behind-the-scenes attitudes that we will face when working with the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that we did continue to sign on with the hotel, but we did talk to the national sales office. We talked to the powers that be because this was at the end of signing. I mean, if they weren't willing to forgive and not overlook this situation, this hotel could have lost this business, and it was a 1,600-room meeting. So, again, we're talking, those people out there right now would love to have 1,600 rooms, and they'd hate to think that something like this would actually cause, cause them to lose some business in today's day and time. But the email
when you think
was...
about that just the click of the one button could lose a 1,600-room booking.
Oh,
really get how important it is, because if the content of the email isn't sarcastic and it's still professional, then even if you accidentally hit reply all, you're not going to offend anybody.
Absolutely, and so it's always best to err on the side of you need to think of email as being a business letter. And what I would always advise is if you don't want your mother reading your email, or if you think Mother Teresa would be offended by reading your email, hence any sort of sarcasm in it, then don't send it. Because like you said, worst case scenario, if you are professional in your email and it does go out and you accidentally send reply all to someone who should not receive it, then there's no harm, no foul. So that is really exactly the message there. You know, just don't offend in the first place, and then you don't have this problem.
Right. And
so,
don't you think for an organization that's the employer, that it's the people that they know they can count on to consistently demonstrate that professional behavior, those are the people they're going to keep, even if they are forced to do some cutbacks.
Absolutely. You know, it's the people that are people that are giving 110%. It's the folks that aren't complaining, the ones that have a good attitude, the ones that are problem solvers. You know, there are ways that we, as if we're on the planning side or the hotel side, there's ways we can go and offer solutions. You know, we're not dead weight. I mean, we have brains and we're innovative and creative people. So I think we need to not operate out of fear, but operate out of a mode of trying to provide solutions so we can all survive this together.
Right. And you know, this kind of takes us to our next point where you talk about the perception camera is always rolling. And before we go into that, I just want to remind everybody that we are taking questions if you want to send them in. And those will be answered at the end of the call, along with some announcements for some really exciting offers that Dallas is going to be giving to those of you who are here with us today. So tell us about this idea. You mentioned the perception camera in the introduction of your book, as well as a couple other places in the book. What are you referring to when you talk about the perception camera?
Well, it's interesting because I've always heard perception is reality. I've heard that many, many years, and before I really dawned on me what it actually meant to me. And as I started working in business etiquette and helping people be their best self, I thought, that is so true. But it really has a different component now, doesn't it? Truly, think about the device we carry, our phone that we carry. It has a camera on it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
and you know, there are actually situations where there are pictures that have been taken of people in compromising issues that have been uploaded to websites and to Facebook and things like that. So, you know, not only is the people's perception of us when they see us, that's their visual camera rolling. You know, one of the things we say as meeting planners and in the industry is when we can see our event, when we can roll that movie camera in a hotel and we can see our event happening there, that helps us know that's the right fit. Well, think about that same scenario when people are looking at us for the fit for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other, you know, a business opportunity or someone to build an alliance with. So everything we do, everything, our behavior, what we say, how we carry ourselves, all that goes into the package. And then following up on our word, I don't think there's anything that we can do today that beats doing what we say we're going to do, you know, building that trust.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many people lately in our economy with the recession and just all these things with corporate America. We've seen so many people ruin our trust in others. And so to put that out there and to do what you say you're going to do and be a person of honor and of character, I think that's really how you set yourself apart today as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, that integrity piece is...
It's huge, and you know, this goes back to, again, we're talking about how you make other people feel. This reminds me, there's a another story with a client of mine, going on a site visit to a city, considering a city for a large citywide meeting, actually mm-hmm. met with the folks at the Convention and Visitors Bureau and told them they were coming in town, so they drove about 5 hours to the city. When they got there, people acted like they had no idea they were coming because no one had communicated that they were actually coming. So when someone finally did come down to greet them, they basically said, we're sorry, we can't really spend any time with you today. I think someone else took them on a tour of the hotel. And then at the end, the person from the Convention and Visitors Bureau asked them what they were going to do for dinner. And oftentimes when someone's coming in for a site visit of that nature, the person with the city or the hotel would host them for dinner. That's just kind of the protocol in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was they basically told them great places they could suggest for them to go, and they turned out to be very expensive places. Well, keep in mind, although they may have been great suggestions,
mm-hmm.
this particular client is a ministry client.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the budget to go to something like this unless they were to be treated. So, again, they weren't thinking outside the box. They weren't thinking about the client even when recommending something with them, and they certainly didn't think about, oh, they should possibly go with them to dinner. So what the end result of that, Robin, was mm-hmm. that they'll never book that city for
right.
a convention.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's those little things.
And that goes to a very special kind of service that you go into in great detail in your book. You want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. Some folks that, yeah, that's right, the Lanyap service, it's something that I am putting out there and something that I really want to be kind of a leader, something to aspire for in our industry. And Lanyap is a word that means a little something extra. It derives historically from the Louisiana area. And basically, back in the day, it was when someone, let's say you got a dozen donuts, but all of a sudden they gave you a 13th donut.
Mm-hmm.
So it was giving a little something extra, like an extra gift. And what I think is that if we can adopt Lanyap service as just a way of being, a way of offering service, thinking about giving a little something extra, then that is going to be the thing that sets us apart. So it's really a philosophy. It's really just an attitude. It's really a not necessarily that the customer is always right, because they are always right to an extent, but what can I do to anticipate that client's needs?
Well, like you were saying, like when you know the client, the potential client is a ministry, maybe having a list of moderately priced nice restaurants, you know, moderately priced restaurants with good food to suggest, rather than sending them to the five-star top dollar restaurants. That would be
absolutely. Absolutely. Or if, again, there was a mistake and they couldn't join them for dinner for whatever reasons, personal situations or, you know, things do come up, maybe they provided them with a gift card where they could go at no cost to them.
Even better.
See, yeah, there's, you know, maybe that happened and they weren't communicated, or maybe there is an emergency and they can't go, but now how do you think they would feel about that? They wouldn't have the same impression that they actually had to be in reality, would they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They would leave feeling like, well,
they might be doing their conference in that city.
Absolutely, because it is a viable option. But until those people are gone, we will not be considering that again. And that's an unfortunate situation. That was prior to them working with me, because I would have made sure all that was set up.
Well,
hence the value that I bring to them, right? Yeah.
Well, the Lanyap service idea too is that when you think about it, just if we use the example of the Visitors Bureau and this dinner, is that maybe if they treated them to dinner at a moderately priced restaurant, I mean, we might be looking at, I don't know how many people were in the group, but let's say upper end $200.
Right. With an impact of, you know, $3 million to a city. Yeah.
Sometimes you wonder if people see the forest for the trees, as they say.
Yeah, it's interesting to me how short-sighted some folks can be. And I think in today's economy, it's easy for us to do that. But one of the things that it doesn't take a lot of money to be creative and think about doing something nice and extra for somebody else. It doesn't mean it has to be the most expensive thing. Because if you think about it, Robin, what means something special to you? If your kids were going to give you a very expensive gift or something that they did that was creative or they thought of that was special for you, what would be more important?
Oh, definitely the thought and the cute little creative things that they do.
Absolutely, and I think that's the same way we are with our, in business. I think we've forgotten about that. We've just gotten so busy and just, you know, hey, this is what we always do. But I think we need to get back to trying to think about the client and what suits their needs.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, again to that, you know, people like to say ignorance is bliss. Well, ignorance is not bliss in this situation. Ignorance costs us $3 million to our city, you know. So, you know, it's really about a state of awareness. And, if we're not aware of these things and we just kind of go on in life and just go, oh, well, it is what it is. I hate that statement, it is what it is. It is what it is because you make it what you make it. I mean, in reality, but you know, we have to be aware of these things. I'm not sure if you remember in the book the information about the hotel salesperson that told me her story about the overnight package. If you recall
story.
Yeah, it didn't turn out as bad for this particular hotel because they did not lose the business. But what had happened was, even if sometimes we think we've done everything right, we think we've, you know, dotted all our I's and crossed all our T's, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be an issue. It's just how do we handle it? There was a particular hotel professional that I was talking to, and basically she said that she worked on a proposal and sent it to a client with overnight delivery, of course, and she was excited. It was done. It was on its way. Everything that they could think of to meet the client's needs, they got the business. They were excited about it. Well, the following day, the director, the client actually called the director to complain because he had received the package from a competitor's company. It seemed that this particular client worked for an overnight delivery company and the package was sent by a competitor. So
right.
Unfortunately, you know, this gentleman has never let her live this down, and he's not really practicing good business etiquette because she's apologized profusely.
Right.
But he still brings it up every time he sees her.
Right.
So,
oh, no.
So again, you know, that's not a story where it actually costs the business. Now, there is a story of a CEO that shared with us when he was a young professional and calling on Pepsi, which was a huge account. It would have made their numbers for the whole year. When he was going in, the reception asked him if he would like something to drink, and he could very promptly ask for a Diet Coke. Now, they did not get that business. So there you go. There are two examples of how just little details of things, you know, you never know which way it's going to go. But wouldn't you rather think a little bit ahead of time and prepare and not have to go through that stress anyway?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that awareness and being conscious of what you're doing. And, you know, like that poor woman who sent the overnight thought she'd done such a great job getting it to them quickly, but then neglected to consider that she used a different, you know, probably the service that her company used, right?
Yeah, exactly. And she wasn't really aware that they didn't have the same
account, most likely, right?
Right. And so she just sent it out the normal way instead of taking that extra step to say, hey, I wonder if this is different. You know, this may cause a problem. I'll never forget when I was a director of sales in hotels, we called on the National Postmasters. And I had that issue. Now, I didn't send it overnight. I actually sent it via mail, but I remember stopping and making sure that I did that because, again, you can imagine sending FedEx to the post office. They would like that very much. So
that probably would go over like a lead balloon, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like a piece of lost mail, in other words. Yeah. So.
So now, what would you
anyway.
Say about this? You have on the worksheet here. Have you ever done business with a company that did a great job, but you never went back?
It's kind of a question I wanted to put out there. You know, if anybody's done, you know, if you've done business with a company and they did a great job, but you didn't go back, you know, what was it? You know, was it just okay? I mean, sometimes we go places just because it's convenient, and it's really something I like to call, you know, do you own your customer or do you rent your customer? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you rent your customer, it's when you're around the corner, you know, your Walgreens, it's easy to go to, they give you decent service, but it's not really necessarily outstanding. And I'm not trying to talk bad about Walgreens, I'm just saying something that's around the corner. Well, let's talk about, how about this, what about a hairstylist?
Okay, there you go.
All right, here's a good one. For guys, it may not be as important, but for ladies, you know what I'm talking about. But you know somebody who knows your hair, they have dealt with you for years, they've gone through the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all of a sudden they move to a new location. It's 20 miles out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go 20 miles out of your way to get your hair cut by her?
Oh, Dallas, I can answer that. I had a hairdresser in D.C. that I went to all through college, and my 3 years after I graduated college, but I was still in D.C., and then I moved down to Florida. Florida, to take a newspaper reporting job. And I flew back to D.C. to have Danielle cut my hair.
Oh, yeah. See, she owned you, lady.
Yes.
She owned you, yeah. That, boy, she would be somebody
Danielle
we would need to interview about her service, yeah.
Yeah, and Danielle owned me and charged three times what everybody else charged, but I didn't care because...
Right.
I didn't want anyone else touching my hair.
Right.
So there you go.
Exactly. So that's what I'm talking about. But what is it that she did? You said she charged more. You flew across country to get your hair cut by her. What was it that she did how she made you feel that made you continue to go back?
Well,
and
it was a he. It was Danielle Roget.
Oh, Danielle. Okay, I'm sorry.
From Paris.
Paris, oh.
He was from Paris, and he just... you know, I have very thick, curly hair, and it can be very unruly and kind of want to do its own thing. And he's just he could work with my hair well, and he was always very attuned to what was in fashion at the time, and you know what,
mm-hmm.
and would also work with my particular makeup. You know, the way my hair is, where my face is, everything else.
Sure,
so,
and how your face would be framed. So you felt, let me ask you this, did you feel like you felt confident in his ability?
I was absolutely certain of his ability. I would let him do whatever he wanted, and I'd always strut out of there. And I think this is the key. I would strut out of his salon in Georgetown feeling like $1 million. I felt fabulous. I knew I looked great, and that was really what I was applying for. was to have that.
Right.
I felt like a Vogue model every time I walked out of there. That was what
well,
it was.
And yeah, and wouldn't we all like to feel like a Vogue model? That would be awesome. And you know, and it may not be to that extent as far as you know hair, but think if we when we dealt with people, we dealt with vendors, and we dealt with folks, and they made us feel like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Made us feel so important from the time they answered our call to when they met with us in person. They weren't checking their email while they were talking to us or on their computer when they're on the phone. You know, all these little things, that adds into that making us feel like a million bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's really what we're talking about. And it goes back to, you know, having confidence in them. You know, they have the common sense to be able to put things aside and make you important. And mm-hmm. then they've made a connection with you. And those are really three elements of what we're talking about as far as having good customer service.
And that kind of brings us to our next point, and just in just a few minutes after we cover this point, we're going to answer your questions as well as tell you about the special offers. So when you were just alluding to being confident, and I believe that's one of these three C's to making a good first impression. Do you want to share with us what those three C's are?
Right. I mean, there are so many C's I could add, but I thought today for our time we'd have three.
Okay, got it.
You know, just not to fry the brain, if you will. But, you know, when you meet somebody, let me ask you, when you shake someone's hand, can you, depending on their handshake and where they're standing, can you feel if they're a confident person?
Absolutely.
And when someone has confidence, does it make you feel like you want to work with them, or do you feel like you'd rather work with someone else?
It makes me want to work with them. Well,
because
it's a factor. It does make me feel it's a good step in the right direction of, oh, okay, this person seems to know what they're doing. Yeah.
Right. They seem to know what they're doing. There's credibility. They have a sense of self-respect because, you know, when you have self-confidence, then that shows that you also believe in yourself. And if we don't believe in ourselves, then who's going to believe in us?
Right.
So that's really confidence in the way we carry ourselves and the way we relate with other people that gives that confidence, that confidence is shown to others, and therefore that helps, again, bridge that connection and the ability to really handle all situations with ease. So that's what that means in confidence.
Okay.
And the next one is common sense. And one of the things I like to say is common sense to one is not common sense to all.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is we talked about this. You know, if you've never had specific training in this area, it's not your fault. And you can't say, oh, that's common sense. Someone should know that. If we're not taught, then we don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's really common sense is a very relative term. So that's really when we talk about common sense. But also, when you're looking at a situation and you can think about, if you're thinking about serving someone else and you're thinking about making someone else feel special, use your common sense that God's given you to basically say, how can I do that? You may not know business etiquette, but if you operate on just, you know, principles of helping someone else feel important, then that will help you kind of think about those things just naturally.
Right, right.
And, yeah, and then the last one is connection. Really, taking a situation from a transaction to a loyal client. Just you were talking about Danielle from Paris and how basically you weren't a transaction and a haircut anymore. You were a loyal client.
Yeah, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking he made me feel like a Vogue model and I'm only 5'4". So that was really quite an accomplishment.
Well, hey, yeah.
There's really no way I could ever be a Vogue model.
Well, but you know, that's it. And, you know, there are people that, aren't there people that just, they just draw us in, we're attracted to them, but we can't really say what it is, but they just make us feel good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's all these little bitty things that they're doing that are subconscious or little details that they do that they don't seem like they're trying. It just happens naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like learning to ride a bike. You know, once you learn these things and you start putting them into practice, it'll happen naturally, and eventually you don't have to think about what you're supposed to do.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So really, you know, in today's situation in the hospitality industry and the meetings industry, it's very important that, you know, first and foremost, you know, we are our own personal brand, and we need to really have a self-assessment and take a look and say, hey, what can we do today to make ourselves better tomorrow than we are today? I mean, we're pretty good today, but what can we do to kind of polish the diamond in the rough, if you will? I mean, even diamonds need to be polished every once in a while. They get kind of dull, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Right. You got to take them out of the store and get them polished up.
That's right. And, you know, the good thing is that, let's say the worst case scenario happens and, you know, something happens and we go a different direction. We have to see the positive in that and then make sure we're prepared so we can take advantage of the opportunity that's going to be awaiting us.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about connection also.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you think about it, you know, you're connecting with your clients today. How many people do you connect with on a daily basis that, let's say, you do need to go into a different direction, but you've built a relationship with them, and now you can call them and say, hey, I'm starting this business, or I'm thinking about a change of a career. All of a sudden, that relationship is a lot different, so it's not like you're calling someone without having a foundation. So that's the reason connection is so important, because people do business with people they like. And what I really want to point out here, it's not about the job that you have, but it's about the person that you are, because you can't check your job with you, but you are everywhere you go.
Right.
That's kind of funny. You are everywhere you go. Yeah.
Right. Wherever you go, there you are.
There you go. That's it. Wherever you go, there you are. So So that's why I'm really passionate about the services that I'm trying to offer, Robin. I know you guys thought the book was certainly something that was needed to get out there, and there's a huge need for it. I find when I go and speak at conferences, people are very, very engaged and want to know more. And I just thought we'd put together these packages to offer opportunities for people to have some real-world training at a reasonable price and something that they can immediately get started in their professional development.
Excuse me. Yeah, and this might be a good time to go ahead and start talking about the packages. And you can view all of these at businessetiquetteacademy.com. And I'll say that again, businessetiquetteacademy.com. For those of you who spell as well as I do, etiquette is E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. I know I'm an editor, but thank goodness for spell check is all I can say.
That's
so businessetiquetteacademy.com, you can see all the different offers and how Dallas has really discounted these services for the people who've decided to join us on the call. It's very generously discounted them. So do you want to tell us a little bit? You have group coaching as well as private coaching. You want to tell us a little bit about how those work?
Well, you know, it kind of spells itself out. Private coaching is personal one-on-one coaching. We sit down and talk about some things that you would like to actually address, where your development needs are, and then I kind of guide you through that process with a little homework, but, you know, a little study guide, if you will, and then we'll go through those types of things. And I think it's spelled out on the website specifically of the time frame and how many sessions those will be. And then group coaching, of course, you can individually, if you'd like to try to join a group with other people and join that individually, you can. Or you can actually, if you have a company and you'd like to have folks trained as your own group so you can focus on company needs, we have that opportunity as well. One of the things that I don't think is actually on the website, I certainly do speaking at conferences and meetings. So if you have any upcoming conferences and meetings that you need a speaker for, certainly that's a great option there. And if there is any need for on-site training, we do that as well. I have quite a few clients that are bringing me in for multiple sessions, and we do give discounts for multiple training sessions as well. So I'm not sure if that answers all the questions, but
and I know your book is available for $14.95.
That is a must-have.
And now here's something that's really exciting too, is because any of these, so you can do the group coaching or the private coaching, or even just buying the book. But any of those things qualifies you for the listener for all these bonuses, which is just so great. I mean, you buy a $14.95 book, and you get over almost $155 in bonuses. So, and all of this is is outlined on the BusinessEtiquetteAcademy.com, but it includes a MJ Harris DVD that retails for $99, Business Etiquette Edge for the Savvy Professional audio, an audio on office party etiquette, as well as an audio on corporate gift giving. I mean, these are all things that people have to deal with all the time in their job, no matter what field that they're in. And, you know, the holiday parties aren't that far away, so this might be a good thing to have, you know, just so you're ready for Christmas. It'll be upon us before we know.
Well, you know, Christmas in July, right? I mean, that's what everybody always says, if we could plan ahead. And when we're thinking about our budgets and what we're going to do, it's important that we really think ahead of time and think creatively about those things so, we can fall in line with what we're working with for the year. One of the things that I tried to do is really for those that came on the call today, for people who really want to begin investing in themselves today, is make it really something that they can't refuse to take advantage of. I really believe that we all have the opportunity to reach our dreams and to do what we're meant to do. But if we're creating our own roadblocks, it's really, you know, really something that nobody can fix but us. And professionally polished is really the bridge from thinking about something to making it happen. And
right.
So that's the reason we put these out there at such a reasonable cost. And, of course, we offer these services, you know, on our website. You'll see that. You can see how discounted the prices are. So it's certainly something that's available. And I believe we're only going to have it available for 24 hours, I believe, after the call's over.
Oh, okay. So this is an offer that if you want to take advantage of it, you want to do it right now and don't wait. I mean, it's a tremendous value. I know every time I talk to you, Dallas, it's a total delight, so I'm absolutely certain that your coaching would be not only informative and beneficial, but also a lot of fun, which I think is important as well, that, you know, this is not the dry etiquette pulling teeth to get you to behave properly kind of training. Dallas is very engaging and motivational and inspirational, and she has a wonderful, playful side that all of her clients benefit from learning this information, but learning it in a way that is really fun, which I think is important because we all have serious stuff we have to do, and this is serious, and it doesn't have to be boring. And so you've really done such a great job of bringing forward that aspect of it, which comes across in your book as well as your work. So that's wonderful. Now, before we go, we do have a few questions. I wanted to make sure that the people who send in their questions get them answered. So we have Janet from Miami who writes, are you available to speak at conventions and meetings? We have an upcoming annual meeting, and I think this would be a great topic.
Oh, well, Janet, that's fantastic. Absolutely. I'm actually booking my calendar now. We can certainly book future dates as well. So if it's this year or if it's in future years, we can certainly take a look at that. So I'd be happy to talk with you about that. If you'd like to, you can send me an email at dallas@makeyourbestimpression.com, and we'll start that conversation and get something out to you right away. Thanks so much.
Great. And then as Tom from San Diego says, as a human resources manager in the hotel industry, I'm curious if you're available for on-site training programs as well.
Tom, yes, absolutely. In fact, I have spent the last 20 or so years in hospitality and hotels. I've been a hotel director of sales and marketing at 3 hotels and also been at a convention and visitors bureau and on the meeting planning side. So I certainly bring a wealth of information and knowledge in the industry. I have even put together programs called Hotel Etiquette. Hotel Etiquette is what I call it. And basically it's taking the etiquette in my hotel experience and bringing it to a real world scenario for the folks there on property. So absolutely, we certainly do that. And I certainly hope to be the person to go to for Hotel Etiquette in the future.
Great. And then just one more question. We have Kelly from Boston wants to know, if you can you customize your training for a particular industry?
Kelly, absolutely. The basics of business etiquette are truly truly the same. However, each industry is going to change based on how you meet your clients. If you're dealing with international clients, you know, that's certainly a factor. Once you start talking about other cultures or even other regions of the country, that's going to be a certain type of training that will have to be integrated into what we're doing. So we certainly take a look at what your needs are, your specific needs for your industry, and make sure that we adapt that. And we do that by an initial assessment where we talk with you and really find out what's important to you and what you need to learn to achieve your goals.